My subject is This Is the Day. My text is from Psalm 118 on page 531, if you'd like to follow me along, beginning to read with verse 20. This is the gate of the Lord, and the righteous shall enter through it. I thank thee that thou hast answered me, and hast become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech thee, give us success. My text is verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray silently for a moment. In Christ's name, amen. For several days prior to this sermon, I conducted a private poll as casually as I could in every conversation that I had in a great variety of situations and people. I asked this question: what do you regard as the most important day of your life? That's worth thinking about. What do you regard as the most important day of your life? I received, as you would imagine, a variety of answers. One person said, my birthday, of course, the day I was born. Another said, do you know my wife? If you know her, you know the most important day to me was when we got married. A young man said, boy, that's easy. I had such a struggle with my studies, it was the day I graduated from college. My mother was proud. My father was surprised. I asked a young woman, and she said, the day I got my driver's license. She was a teenager. One man said to me, it was the day of my last radiation treatment, when my doctor looked at me and said, that should make you well again. I could give you more answers, some surprising, some disappointing. I was rather let down, to be candid, that no one said to me, it was the day I professed my faith in Christ and joined the church. We measure our lives in years, but we live them day by day. Days are very important. Paul Tunier said, in the reality of life, the pages are turned only one at a time, each at its proper time and not before. Some days stand out in life's pilgrimage. They make themselves conspicuous by events, good and bad. Some of them stand out and they are remembered for years as a watershed moment that changed everything that came after that day. It was in the midst of an ordinary day that the psalmist went up to the temple one day to worship and to pray. He had done it before. He would do it again. It was a part of the warp and woof of his life. He even describes his mood as he goes to worship. He was grateful for God's dependability. He said, for example, thank the Lord for he is good. His loving kindness is forever. He was conscious of God's adequacy in times of trouble. In my distress, he said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me and rescued me. He knew that God both delivers and protects, for he wrote, you did your best to kill me, O my enemy, but the Lord helped me. He is my strength and song in the heat of battle. So his is a grateful heart as he goes to worship that day. And in all that he experienced and all that he carried with him there, something flooded his soul that had eluded him heretofore. He discovered a new truth, and like an anthem of joy, it springs forth from his heart. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. He had discovered a sublime truth, a truth that endures, a truth that we all need to discover today in all of its routine, in all of its sameness, is the most important day of your life and my life. Yesterday is mere prologue, the stuff of learning, educational. We cannot change it, erase it, or even completely forget it. But we can learn from yesterday, and its chief function is educational. Tomorrow is uncertain in the dim and near unknown, filled with potential, filled with fear. We can plan for it with prudence, but we face it in faith. Tomorrow is known but to God. But today, today is the best day of your life and my life. It is life's most important day. Why? Why is that true? Well, in answer to that question, I want us to look at four words, four pegs on which to hang our thoughts. And the first is opportunity. Today is filled with opportunities for service, for friendship, for caring, some of them unique for today. Some of those opportunities that are basic to today will never come to your life or mine again. Let me give you two statements to think about. The first is an Arab proverb. Dawn does not come twice to awaken a man. The second is from Benjamin Disraeli. The secret of success in life is for a man to be ready for his opportunity when it comes. Today is the most important day of your life and mine in terms of opportunity. This past summer, I did something that I rarely, if ever, do, and that is that while on vacation, I accepted an engagement to preach. For years, the Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York have invited me to preach, and I'd never accepted one of their invitations, but I did this year. And the Sunday morning that I was to preach, I put my robe over my arm and walked down Park Avenue on the way to the church. And I walked by the Christ United Methodist Church, which had been served for more than 40 years by one of America's great preachers, Dr. Ralph Sockman. And I remembered across the years a conversation that I had had with Dr. Sockman as a seminary student. We spent some time together, and he said to me an interesting thing. He said, "One day I believe you will be the pastor of a city church. And I want you to remember two things when that happens. That continuity is important in a city pulpit. It's very important that you stand in that pulpit to preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday." And then he said, "You remember that when you stand to preach, you are preaching to a passing parade. Some are there that you will never see again. Preach always to that opportunity." And I can tell you that every time I walk into this pulpit to preach, that I am aware of the enormous opportunity that awaits me here. On the typical Sunday here at Peachtree, we have 400 plus visitors. Many of them are here for the first and the only time they will ever be here. They're just in the city for a weekend, visiting a friend, passing through. They heard about our church through an encounter through television. Whatever the reasons, they are here. And I have one opportunity to speak a good word for Jesus Christ for them. The same is true in your life. There are opportunities unique to today, important, and they will never occur again. Do not take those opportunities lightly. A distinguished college president, now retired, found a poem along with some papers in the desk of his wife after she had died. Listen to what she wrote. "Somewhere along my path today, a lonely soul will be. Dear Father, open my eyes, I pray, this lonely soul to see. Somewhere across my path, ere dusk, a wandering youth will stray. Grant me wisdom and insight, dear Lord, to know the right words to say. Somewhere along my path today, a child's bitter tears will fall. Attune my ears, dear Lord, I pray, to hear the faintest call. Somewhere across my path, ere night, two aged feet will tread. Grant me the privilege, dear Lord, I pray, to use my two feet instead. Somewhere along my path today will need a cheer. Someone along my path today will need a cheering word. Someone a word of comfort. Someone a right for wrong. May I be the one so blessed today. May I be the one to see. May I be the one to hear and to go wherever a need may be. Wherever a need may be. Don't take today lightly. It's the most important day of your life because of the word opportunity. The second word is implementation. It is the first opportunity. Today is the first opportunity you have and I have to build positively on the mistakes of yesterday. It's tragic that we often do not learn from our mistakes. All of us make mistakes, but not all of us learn from those mistakes. Pascal said, time heals griefs and quarrels, for we change and are no longer the same persons. I wish that were true, but it's not. Not all of us change. Not all of us learn from our mistakes. The Stoughton, Wisconsin Courier, a weekly newspaper, carried this story. The Fortin Street Bridge was repaired following its collapse last fall. New iron end plates that held the truss were installed, and the bridge is now in the same condition it was prior to its collapse. Of course, it was a misprint or at least poor sentence construction, but the reality is that many of us never learn from the mistakes of yesterday. We need to learn so that we can apply those lessons to building a better life today. Warren Harding, by almost unanimous evaluation of historians and scholars, was probably the worst president America ever had. I can tell you, Teapot Dome scandal and all, I felt better about Warren Harding when he was quoted as saying about himself, I am not fit for this office and never should have been here. At least he was facing himself, learning something about himself, hopefully in the direction of being a better person. You can't say that about everybody you know and everybody you love. Today, resolve to implement the lessons learned from the mistakes of yesterday. Well, today is important because of opportunity, because of implementation, and because of the word urgent. We are often so laid back about life. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, in the reality of life, one of the illusions of life is that the present hour is not the critical, decisive hour. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year. There ought to be a sense of urgency about the opportunities of today. We have convinced ourselves, many of us, that there is ample time to do whatever it is that we want and intend to do. Now, I don't mean that we should live our lives by being constantly uptight about everything. That's not what I mean, but I do mean for you and for me to come to a realization that today is all we have, and that reality should give us a sense of urgency about its use. How many times I've sat with a friend or a member of a family and heard them talk about how sad they felt. More often than not, their sadness was because of something that was not done, or not said, or not accomplished, or not forgiven with a departed friend or a loved one, all because of delay. They assumed that there would be ample time. There would be some years of leisure to enjoy one another, but it was not to be. Build a life on the right use of time. Be urgent about it. You know, we waste a lot of time. Peter Berger, who wrote the Peter Principle book, has written a new book entitled Why Things Go Wrong. And in that book, he reports that the Navy spent 4 years and $375,000 in research on the military application of the Frisbee. Now we all have the equivalent of that in our lives somewhere, where we have wasted a lot of time and a lot of money doing nothing. You simply cannot go through life assuming that there is ample time, that there are many days left. We build a life by the right use of every day. We cannot take today for granted and assume that tomorrow there will be ample time. I discovered in my reading a table of contents for the November 1983 Reader's Digest. I was interested in that table of contents and the articles featured. Here they are. How to Stay Slim Forever. 5 Ways to Stop Feeling Tired. How to Get Your Way. How Safe Are the New Contraceptives. What It Takes to Be Successful. Now, taking note of those titles, one would conclude that the editors of Reader's Digest have reached the decision that their readers are fat, lazy, frustrated, lustful, and unsuccessful. Now the thought that they might be right sends a shudder through me. I am convinced that the vast majority of us should live life with a greater sense of urgency. We are here this morning about the table of our Lord on the first Sunday of 1986. How quickly 85 came and now is gone forever. What did you accomplish with that year? Is your life advanced spiritually over what it was when 1985 dawned with all of its promise? Is your marriage more satisfying today than it was a year ago? Do you feel closer to your husband or your wife? In your vocational endeavors, is your life in a holding pattern, or are you making progress? Another year has dawned. What will you make of it, if anything? Be urgent about today as we gather at the level ground around this table. Pledge to God that this year and this day is going to be different. That we'll work harder at all of the things that matter and make it better. And have a well-ordered life. Far too many of us have mastered the art of consistent complacency. And many of our lives and relationships are on hold because of it. You can only drift in one direction, friends, and that's down. You'll remember it was Oscar Wilde who said, "Consistency is the last refuge of the unimaginative." Well, today is the most important day of your life because of opportunity, implementation, because of urgency, and because of movement. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away, says the hymn writer. Someone said that time waits for no man. It's true. It's always moving. When we studied Latin, the first phrase I learned was, tempus fugit, time flies. I guess as you grow older, time seems to speed up and to literally rush by you. In your mind, you still feel young. Nothing has changed. Oh, well, maybe a bulge here and there or an ache or two here and yonder, but all of a sudden, you're 50. And a half century has passed. Where have the years gone? Time has moved. We wish we could slow it down, but we cannot. Two little girls were watching cartoons on television one morning. They were both engrossed in the cartoon, and the climactic moment was coming. One little girl got up and turned the set off. Her little sister was furious. "What are you doing?" she said. And I'll never forget the reply. "I gotta go get a drink of water, and I don't want to miss anything." Don't you just wish that were true? That we could somehow or another make the clock stop or turn it back or stop its onward rush, but we cannot. Jesus said, "Work while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work." I visited the little White House in Warm Springs, Georgia, some months ago. If you haven't been there, you ought to. It's, to me, a very appealing place. You just sense there, after all of the years, the presence of FDR in that place he loved so much. To me, one of the most poignant things in the little White House is the unfinished portrait of him there. He was sitting for the artist when stricken with a sudden headache and was a part of the ages in a flash. That unfinished portrait is a reminder to all who see it of the brevity of time and how it moves, always moving. The hymn writer was on to something powerful when he penned these words: "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see, but thou who changest not, abide with me." David Redding, in his book Before You Call, I Will Answer, tells the story of Orville Kelly. Mr. Kelly was informed that he had terminal cancer, and he and his wife went home to cry and to prepare for his death. Should they keep it a secret? Should they share it with friends? They decided to have a party and invited all of their friends to the party. And during the party, Orville Kelly told their friends of his condition. And then he said this: "We have decided to start a new organization. It's called MTC, Make Today Count. You're all charter members, because I have suddenly realized that we're all terminal." They're right. We are all terminal. And we do not have to wait until the diagnosis is formalized to make today count. There should be a sense of urgency about your use of time and my use of it, because time is always moving on. Today is the most important day of your life and mine. It's fitting that we begin this new year around the table of our Lord. And as you come to the table today, I want to ask some questions. And I want you to remember these questions and ask them of yourself at the end of each day of 1986, copies of this sermon will be printed and available next Sunday. And you get these questions. And here they are. Every day of this year, ask these questions. Is anybody happier because you passed their way today? Will anyone remember a kind word that you spoke to them today? Every day will come to an end when toiling time is through. Will there be anyone to utter a friendly word about you today? Can you say, when night is passing, the day has slipped so fast that you helped a single person of the many that you passed today? Is a single heart rejoicing today over what you did or said today? Does one whose hopes are fading now with courage look ahead because of you today? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or poorly spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or scars of discontent? Think about that as we gather at his table. Our Father, we give thanks for these moments together. We ask your blessings upon us now as we take advantage of today. For this is the most important day of our lives. In Christ's name, amen.